you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.
Somebody say, I want the glory of God. Come on, if you want the glory of the Lord, I dare you just to give Him the loudest praise you possibly can give Him. Jesus abides in the praise of His people and the worship of His people. Now you may say, Brandon, why in the world did you show me a video such as that? Don't we have big lights and big drums? Yes, we do. But the difference is we host the presence and our drum is full of the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the difference. What I want to share with you today, I basically just gave you a glimpse into the landscape of the Church of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there's a war, you can kind of say a civil war, in the church. You have the uncompromising church, which is not willing to let go of the absolute truth of Christendom. Then you have the apostate church, the relevant church, the seeker-sensitive church that wants growth in numbers and cares about nothing else. All they want is big buildings, big lights, just a place full of people so they can basically boast about what they did with their own hands. And if you go to those type of churches, you will notice that the presence of God is not there. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12. And again, as Pastor said, if you need to go, you're more than welcome. I'm not going to get offended. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26. If you have it, say amen. Word of the Lord declares, and Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also, he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of this people will turn back to the Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, the king asked advice. You want her to say, to whom did he ask advice? Made two calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel. It's funny that Bethel was known as a house of God. And the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places, and he made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar, and he burned incense. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Father, we hunger and we thirst for you. Father, I pray this word may just take root in the hearts of your people. Let it produce much fruit. Father, I pray that we may be shaken to the innermost being, God. Lord, give us a hunger for your presence. Let us not be satisfied, Jesus. Let us not be complacent, but seek you, Father, in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll just take a couple of moments of your time, but I want to go ahead and just basically, normally I don't have a message title, but I'm going to name it an uncompromising church. Jesus, for 3 years, invested in 12 men, and he left them with the task of building the church that he had ordained. And they labored until the Lord called them home, and some of them sealed the testimony of Jesus Christ with their own blood. They left their legacy unto us to be able to continue the work. And you know what? In reality, some of us, not particularly in this place, but when I say us, I'm talking about the church, because we are all united, have dropped the ball. Listen, what happened here in 1 Kings chapter 12, right before that, Solomon had passed away. And Solomon's son Rehoboam had come to the throne, and basically he acted very foolishly. And he brought a yoke upon the people of Israel in such a way that the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam was placed as king over 10 tribes of Israel, and he was ready to go to war with his own people, with Judah. But the prophet Ahijah spoke to Jeroboam and said, stop, you will not go and battle your own people because this is of me. It was God's plan for the kingdom to be divided. So keep that in mind as you hear the word today. God oversaw the entire kingdom. They were God's people. Just like it doesn't matter that there's other churches that may not believe the same way we do, they're the church of Jesus Christ. So basically, the Lord told Jeroboam, if you're faithful to me and you follow my precepts and you look to me in all that you do, but he said, basically, I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. I will make you possibly as great as David's lineage was supposed to be. But what you notice in scripture was that Jeroboam, the Bible says he sought advice from other people. The only advice that he needed was from God himself. But yet he saw advice from other people, and he began to think about himself, and he began to want to just growth in numbers. Listen, he had enough people. He had 10 tribes of Israel. If there was going to be anybody else to complain, it should have been Rehoboam. He only had Judah. That's all he had. That's all Rehoboam had. But Jeroboam had 10 tribes of Israel. Bible says that he basically changed and had new innovations to the form of worship. What do you mean, Brandon? Listen, God had chosen to make his name known in where? Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where the temple of God was at. Jerusalem was where the cloud of glory manifested itself in the temple. Jerusalem was where the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence, was in the Holy of Holies. But Jeroboam changed that. Why? Because he was intimidated. He didn't want to lose people. So what did he do? And the pretext that people wouldn't have to travel, he basically put a false yoke upon him. He said, you know what? You don't got to travel all the way to Jerusalem. No, that's too expensive. The trip is too long. You're going to be too tired. You know, it's okay. You know, you don't need to go all the way over there. You don't have to labor and go all the way to Jerusalem to get a hold of God's presence. So you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to make 2 calves, and I'm going to place one in Bethel, which was the closest to Jerusalem, by the way. That's why the Bible says it was in the sight of Jerusalem. And I'll get that to you here in just one moment. But I will put one in Dan. And then he did the biggest lie he possibly could have said. Here are your gods who brought you out of Egypt. He was creating an alternate to the divine presence of the Lord. Come on, Jesus. That took me back to Exodus chapter 38, where Moses went up to the mountain. Sometimes I don't get them. You have the lightning and the thunder of God's presence right before you. You're literally looking at it. Yet you still choose to operate in idolatry, and you begin to murmur and you begin to complain. Make us a God that will go before us. He went right back to what Israel had done when they began to complain to Aaron. Make us a God that will go before us. Listen, what he did right here is what the seeker sensitive church is doing. Listen, you don't got to do all that praising. You don't got to do all that worshiping. You don't got to do all that stuff just to get a hold of God. Listen, sometimes you have to press harder than you've pressed before. Sometimes the labor that you have to initiate is surrendering to the will of the Holy Spirit and die to your own flesh to get to a new level of glory that you have never been before. The seeker-sensitive church has basically removed that out of convenience. Put padded pews into a church and put coffee into a church. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I love coffee. God knows I don't want to sit in a wooded bench. Man, you can't sleep on them things. I've tried. God don't, you know, that doesn't matter to the Lord. What matters to God is your heart and how much you're willing to pursue His presence. Listen, it wasn't a convenient church that changed me. Calvin, was it a convenient church that changed you? No. You can ask all these other fellows in here, Jason and David. You can ask them, what was it that changed your life? You know what it was? They got a hold of God. They got a hold of Jesus. They got a hold of a tangible presence. They got a hold of something real that changed your life so drastically that they can't hold it. They can't hold it. It's like a fire. You can't hold it when you want to praise God. That's why Sister Rebecca blesses me so much. That people, I mean, some people that know, man, what is she doing? What is she doing running and jumping? Listen, you don't know what she used to be bound to. You don't know what her struggles were before she found Jesus. And the way that she praises and worship is honorable unto the Lord. Woo, Jesus. Every time that she begins to praise, I say, you know what? You're Judah. You're Judah. You go before the army of our camp and you begin to praise and put some devils to flight. Sister, keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it no matter what people think, no matter what people say. You keep praising God the way you decide to praise. Doesn't matter what people think. Jesus. Let me get a little bit into the seeker-sensitive movement. Began in 1975 in Willow Creek Theater in Palatine, Illinois. Its mission, reach non-religious people and turn them into devoted followers of Christ. Not a bad plan. That's what you want to do. Present the biblical message in relevant terms. This turned into a network of like-minded ministries, 1,600 churches, and over 70 denominations. Here's the issues. It watered down Christianity. It did not produce strong disciples. It confused the faith. The guru of this moment, his name was Bill Hybels. And his mission was, in order to reach an entertainment-oriented culture, many churches adopted an approach that dishonors the gravity, depth, and substance of biblical truth. A de-emphasis on taking personal responsibility for Bible study, combined with an emphasis on felt needs-based programs and slick marketing. What does that mean? I do research to see what you need the most. And I put that in the church just to make it happen, to draw you into my congregation. The use of contemporary music and drama in worship diminished the appreciation of God's transcendent holiness, especially if it presented itself as a performance for spectators instead of an offering to God. Repetitiveness of sermons was keeping people from growing deeper in the faith. Seek-sensitive churches were committed to being cool contemporary as the absolute prerequisite of ministry. Willow Creek actually released the results of a multi-year study and the effectiveness of the programs. Listen to this. This is what it revealed. This is Heibel himself. He says, most of what we have spent millions of dollars in to produce, it was not produced in solid disciples of Jesus Christ. Numbers, yes, but not disciples. Some of the stuff that we have put millions of dollars into thinking it would really help our people grow and develop spiritually, when the data actually came back, it wasn't helping people that much. Other things that we didn't put that much money into and didn't put much staff against is stuff our people were crying out for. Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. And then he says this right here. We made a mistake. We made a mistake. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and became Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have gotten people, taught people how to read their Bible between services and how to do the spiritual practices much more aggressively on their own. Listen, you go into some churches and instead of it looking like an army of believers, it's a nursery. Bunch of whiny, crybabies that have no ability to survive on their own. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth today. That's the way the church is actually becoming. They try to write off of somebody else's anointing. Pastor, give me a word. Pastor, give me a word. Prophet, give me a word. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. When have you gone into the prayer closet yourself? When have you gotten on your knees and said, I will not get up from here until I hear from God? Bunch of whiny Christians. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Bunch of can't even take care of my own self and don't want to eat solid food. I need milk as much as I can get. And you know what? Shame on those pastors that all they do is bring Similac to church. And then you wonder why your church is always defeated. You wonder why your church is always bound to pornography and to sin and to addiction, because you never taught your church how to fight the adversary. Yeah. Jesus. Half the time the devil you're fighting is yourself and not even the enemy. Don't know how to die to the flesh and put your own flesh down. How about you fast for a little bit and get away from the television or get away from social media and say, I'm going to pursue God until I see this giant slave. Hallelujah. Man, oh man. Lord. Listen, you cannot replace the presence of the Lord. You cannot replace the presence of God. I don't care if people call me crazy or I don't know about those Pentecostals and all that stuff. I don't know about them. They're nuts. You know, that's fine. God will pour out his presence on those that desire it. Lord, help me. He brought me to the wrong state. That's right. So basically, he created two calves. Listen to what Jeroboam did. He said, these two calves are your God. He was trying to put a face to the name. So he wouldn't break the first commandment. What is the first commandment? You shall not have any other gods before me. But in doing so, he broke the second commandment. You will not make a graven image. These two gods, these two calves were made in Egyptian fashion. The Bible says, Apis and Menevis, they were Egyptian gods that had cows with wings. So what he was doing, Lord Jesus, what's in Jerusalem in the holy place? How does the Ark of the Covenant look? You have an angel on one side with his wings. Yes. You have an angel on the other side with his wings. He thought that he made a cattle with wings that would represent the presence of God for the people. And he thought that God would manifest himself in those cows. And you know what he did? He put one in Bethel, in the side of Jerusalem. To what? To woo those. To woo those. And you know what? It's much easier on this side. You don't got to do all that fasting. You don't got to do all that praying. Come over here. I'll give you a pat on the back. You know what, honey? You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, honey. You know what? Just try not to watch pornography. Try not to. Try not to lift up that drink and get drunk. You know what? It wasn't a 12-step program that got me free. It was an encounter with Jesus. I was down and broken to my lowest level. And I said, God, if you're real, you're going to deliver me. And God said, not only will I deliver you, but I will make you a sign and a wonder to the people. Come on, people say, I don't got no testimony. Yeah, you are. You're a sign and you're a wonder that God truly exists. So he made two calves. He made two calves. And what he was trying to do, he was trying to accomplish the purpose that God had called him to without the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's what churches are doing nowadays. We don't need God. We got millions and millions of dollars coming in from tithers who are faithful to our church. Who are faithful to our church. You don't need to talk about the Holy Spirit. You don't got to talk about Jesus. You know, you don't got to put up with all that stuff. Don't offend nobody. Just come bring them in here and make them happy. Just make them happy. Just make them smile. But you know what? What's on the outside doesn't really reflect what's going on the inside. It really doesn't reflect what's going on the inside. You may go to church. You may sit in this pew. You may just stand back there and say, yeah, I went to church. God is good. How you doing, brother? Oh, God is good all the time. But you go home and you lay down and you're miserable. You're miserable. Because the sin that is holding you down, or you just can't get free of some things. The church cannot accomplish its mission without the Spirit of God. When you make people feel good, that will overshadow the work of the Holy Spirit. It will overshadow His work. I was sitting with Pastor today in the morning, and he said the Holy Spirit comes to convict. He comes to convict. So when you truly get in the presence of the Lord, and you begin to feel a prick in your heart, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because God don't want you to stay where you're at. Because He has better for you. He has better plans for you. He has a calling in your life. He has a calling in your life and a certain work that you must do in the kingdom. You know, there's so many people that have not been reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the people who are supposed to reach them are still sitting down and not doing anything. Think about that for a moment. You are called to reach a certain group of people. And the more you disobey God, and the more you fight it, is the greater chance that they will go to hell without Jesus. Think about it that way. It ain't all about you. It is not all about you. Let me tell you something. You're going to go through a lot of mess. You're going to go through a lot of situations. You're going to feel like you're going to die at one point. But you know what? God has had the victory from the moment that He created you. Somebody needs a revelation of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ so you can move on to your calling. We dance, woo, Jesus won, how the victory, yeah. And you don't believe it. You waste your time. You waste your energy. You waste your sweat. Pretending to praise because you think that you received the revelation that Jesus Christ died for you. It's not that hard to believe that. It comes with confession in your heart and confession from the mouth. You know what? I'm saved. I'm victorious. I'm free. I don't got to go back to that mess. Jesus died on the cross, and when He said, "It is finished," it was finished. I don't got to be bound no more by the stuff that I used to. There's a higher level of glory that God wants me to go to. But you know what? Some people have cement boots and they ain't going anywhere. And they put them on themselves. And they have no desire to move forward in the Lord. Listen, I'll say it again. To experience a new depth of God's glory, you got to do things you've never done before. You got to do things you've never done before. You reach one level and you're moving to the next. The same thing you're wearing, the same armor, the same garment of praise, take it off. Because something new is necessary to operate in the next level that God has brought you to. Some people are trying to operate in a new level with a different anointing that they had in last season. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Let the Lord put a new anointing upon your life so you are capable of operating in what God has called you to do. I've never been in an area where people are so accustomed to just being where they're at and not even, well, I like it this way. I like it this way. This is the way that I was raised. And I'm here like, dude, I used to be drug addicted, addicted to pornography, and I was tired of religion. Then I got a hold of Jesus, and I said, Lord, more. More, Father. Get rid of this customs. You know, that's one of the hardest things that I have to battle getting to this area. And you can ask Katie. Where's Katie? Well, she's not here. One of the hardest things that I had to battle was getting that belief off of me that you have to be comfortable. That you have to be accustomed to. You have to stick to tradition. But you know what? I was successfully able to fight it off. And that's why with people where I work at sometimes, we clash all the time. We clash all the time. Brother, you need some joy in your life. Brother, you need a newness of God's Spirit in your life. Get rid of those traditions. Get rid of those customs. You say that you're a Christian, but you're miserable. Get a hold of Jesus in the prayer closet and let Him change your life. Is this okay? All right. Like I said, I always ask just out of courtesy, but I really don't care. The next movement. I promise I am not like, what am I trying to say? I'm not like conceited or nothing. I just know who I am in Christ. That's just what it is. So what happened was, and this is what's really affecting the church right now. The fact that Jeroboam built two calves set the precedent for the entire nation falling to idolatry. What do you mean? I know he at first didn't intend to stop the worship of Yahweh, but by setting up both calves, he told the people of Israel, you know what, it's okay for you to enter into idolatry. And eventually they ended up doing what? Worshiping Baal. Continue to read the book of Kings. What happened? Assyria and Babylon came and basically destroyed them for their wickedness and their idolatry, the Bible says. There's many church leaders right now, like pastors and stuff, who do what they want to do and think it's okay to live a certain way and think that it's not going to have effect on anybody else but their congregation are watching. So what? My pastor had an affair. I can have one too. You know? My husband has a tattoo. I mean, my husband. Some of them have husbands. I'm going to get that to them just in a moment here. You know, my pastor has a tattoo. You know what? If you have a tattoo, I have two. It's all up to you and the Spirit of God. But what I'm trying to get to, there's some things that you're supposed to stay away from that leaders are actually doing, and it's given a green light for the congregation to go ahead and do it as well. For the congregation to do it. And then all of a sudden, the entire congregation and is idolatrous before the Lord. The Bible says that the people gave in and they went as far as Dan to worship. The Bible says that Jeroboam made priests of the lowest people. That literally means out of all types of people. When this happened, you know who was the first to get out? The Levites. I want nothing to do with this. That was a remnant church. I know what it means to worship. I know what it means to present myself before the Lord. I know the things that I have to do to encounter the presence of God. I don't want no part of your idolatrous worship. And they fled because they wanted no part of what he was doing. So what happened? Jeroboam said, you know what? I'll take the position of high priest myself. And he made himself a priest. And he made all classes of people priests. What does that mean? What does it have to do with us? Just look it up on Google. What denominations are ordaining homosexual clergy? There's a lot of denominations out there that have pastors and preachers and deacons and elders that have no business being in church position and no business getting behind a pulpit and preaching the word of God. They're allowing all kinds of trash and all kinds of poison to be released from this sacred pulpit. And people are being fed with it and slowly dying and don't even realize it. Listen, when you're in leadership, and I'm not only saying this because I'm in leadership, but I'm saying when you're in leadership or you're a worship leader, or heck, if you're even on the praise team, or if you do anything that has to do with how a church worship service goes, you're called to live a higher standard than what most people are called to live. That's the truth. If you're a drummer, you're called to live to a higher standard. If you're a worship leader or you're a backup singer, you're called to live a higher standard. If you're a piano player, a guitar player, a bass player, if you're a children's pastor, a deacon, an elder, if you lift up offering even, you have to live in a higher standard because you're in church position. You are the representation of Jesus Christ on earth. People are lost and it's just me and my position and it's all me. I was put in this position and glory to God, I'm on staff and I get paid. And you're not even reflecting Christ. You're hateful. You're stuck up. You're conceited. You don't talk to people. You're not full of humility. You're not humble. You have a critical spirit and it doesn't go your way. And then people begin to do the same thing and you wonder why. You wonder why. Well, you know, I saw one of the deacons doing that, you know, and it has to be okay. It has to be okay for me to critique what the man of God who is the spiritual authority over the church is doing. Yeah. And is saying, yeah. Oh, I can do it better, but you haven't put in the time to pray like he has. Yeah. Lord, help me. Yes, sir. Lord Jesus, help me. Yes, the type of behavior that church leadership has or even anybody in leadership will produce the fruit in the congregation. It'll produce the fruit in the congregation. Let's move on. Lord Jesus, get out of here with all that. This is what happened next. The Bible says that Jeroboam, he changed the date of the Feast of Tabernacles. What does that mean? He was trying to show his ecclesiastical authority. I can do what I want to because I'm priest. I can do what I want to because I'm king. I don't got to seek the Lord. I don't got to seek the direction of the Holy Ghost. I can do what I want to because I'm in this position here that I have placed upon myself. That's where the emergent movement is coming in right now, the emergent church. At the heart of the movement, some of the leaders call it conversation, basically lies a conviction that changes in the culture signal that a new church is emerging. That's basically what it is. At the foundation, the emergent church is making up its own mind on almost every major doctrinal issue. Why? Because they can. Because they think that they're in office, they can do what they want. This is postmodern Christianity. Postmodernism says, you know what? There's no absolute truth. Jill, you're not wearing a red sweater. It's blue. People look at you like, what? Yeah, it's blue. You're wearing a green shirt. You're wearing a purple shirt. Don't tell me it's not true because I'll go off on you. That's what postmodernism is. How dumb does it sound? It began as a conversation but quickly became a conflict in the church. Some of the doctrines that they're trying to change Scripture, that it's not the divine inspiration, perfection, and authority of Scripture. It's not. It's not divine. Jesus Christ. Jesus may not be, you know, divine. He is not sovereign over human history as Lord. Gender. That's why the homosexual agenda embraces the emerging church. This includes whether or not people are created with inherent gender differences, whether or not those gender roles have any implications for the governments of home and church, and whether or not homosexual practice is sinful. This also includes whether or not it is appropriate to use gender-specific... Listen to this. Is it appropriate to use gender-specific names for God such as Father like Jesus did? Some of you look at me like, what are you talking about? They don't believe that Jesus was they don't believe in the masculinity of the presence of God. They believe the Holy Spirit has feminine attributes. You don't know, the Holy Spirit may be a woman. You don't know, God may be a woman. Jesus might be a woman as well. Even though Jesus said Father, which means Abba, which means Daddy, which means that he has male attributes. Another doctrinal thing is sin. The primary issue here is whether or not human beings are conceived as sinners or essentially morally neutral and internal corrupted social. They're corrupted inside by external forces. The salvation. The issue is whether Jesus Christ is necessary for salvation and whether or not salvation exists for people in other religions who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not worship Jesus. Basically, a Hindu can, Jesus can save somebody who is a Muslim or a Hindu and they don't even have to confess that he is Lord. That's called universalism. The cross, the issue here is the doctrine of penal submission and whether or not Jesus died in our place for our sins or if he went to the cross solely as an example for us to follow when we suffer. Hell, the issue is whether or not anyone will experience constant eternal torment or if unbelievers will simply cease to exist. That's called annihilationism. Or eventually be saved and taken to heaven. The authority, the issue is perhaps the most difficult of all. Much of this conversation is happening online with blogs and chat rooms. However, as a conversation becomes a conflict, the inherent flaw of postmodernism is becoming a practical obstacle to unity because there is no source of authority to determine what constitutes orthodox or heretical doctrine. You know who the authority is? The Holy Spirit. The authority is Jesus Christ himself. God the Father is final authority. And this is what's happening. The very language of the movement betrays a sense that evangelicalism must be cast aside in order for something new, radical, and more authentic to emerge. That's the battle we're fighting right now, church. That's the battle that we're fighting at this very moment. We talk about the devil and we talk about spiritual warfare, but the devil is using the other polarized side of the church to conflict with us true believers who believe in the absolute truth of Christianity. This shows when Jeroboam changed the Feast of the Tabernacle, he was basically saying, I'm the final authority on what goes and what's said and what's done. God never called us, church, to conform to the culture. Never. He called us to engage our culture. He called us to be a voice in the wilderness crying out loud, prepare the way of the Lord. That's why we're literally becoming the minority, because the culture is changing and there's people out there that think that the church has to change with the culture and the church has to accept everything that culture is doing, and what the culture says is what happens in the church. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Listen, you can't be part of a generation such as us that believe in the righteousness of God without actually having a spine. You're going to have to get in some people's faces sometimes. You're going to have to defend the faith sometimes. I pray a boldness comes upon you. Listen, they're trying to choose the absolute truth of Christianity, just as Jeroboam was changing the absolute truth of God's word. Basically, what Jeroboam was trying to do, and I'm about finished, Jeroboam was trying to copy what was happening in Jerusalem, but that was not having the same results. Exactly what's happening in the church today. And why am I saying this? Because you're part of an uncompromising church. The fact that you pray, the fact that you come in here on Sundays, you come in here on Wednesdays, and the fact that you're in your prayer closet during the week, and God manifests himself in the way he manifested himself today, shows that you're not compromising to culture. You're not deciding to be part of the church that's on the other side of the fence. You're hungry for Jesus and you're hungry for God. But look, listen, you know what? Do you know what God's answer was to this problem? Chapter 13. An unnamed, no face prophet of the Lord. Out of Judah. Out of Judah. Judah. What was in Judah? The real church. The real way of worshiping. The real way of seeking the face of God. A prophet who was trained in the absolute truth of Christianity was brought to Israel, and he went before the king and he rebuked him for his idolatry. That's my favorite part. Because the Bible says that Jeroboam, with all his authority and his self-conceitedness, said, kill that man. And what happened? The Bible says that his arm withered. His arm withered. And Jeroboam said, pray to your God that my arm may be restored. But I thought you didn't believe in God. I thought that you changed the form of worship. I thought that you were doing your own thing, your own way. But yet you still go back to what you were taught and what you know is right. And my Bible said the man of God prayed for his arm and it was restored unto himself. God's raising up a generation of preachers of righteousness. And these young children in the youth group that you don't want to play church, that they don't care, you know what I'm saying, what's going on when we have communion, that they don't care about minute differences in the church or criticizing. God's raising them up to be preachers of righteousness. They're going to go to the secular world and they're going to go and preach righteousness to the people and then arise in power and say, you know what, you need to get right with God. I don't care if you don't believe in them. It still applies to you. It still applies to you. Come on, church, you know what, stand up on your feet. Daniel, if you want to come, I'm finished. It is not a coincidence that what we are experiencing in this place is happening right now. Listen, no place in the country, not one place in the country, is safe from experiencing a movement such as what's happening in the church right now. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's coming to the places that you did not even expect was going to show up. And church, you will have to make a decision. You will have to make a decision. Will you hold on to what you know is true? Will you hold on to what you know is right? Will you do the things that are tested and tried and produce the results of God's presence? Or will you give in to what's going on? The pressure of being politically correct, the pressure of having to conform to the culture and to have to accept what culture says is right. Listen, the message that we preach is not popular. I myself will gladly stand before a firing squad and place my own neck under a sword to protect the message of Jesus Christ. Listen, I already made up my mind up years ago that my life means nothing without Jesus. I am nothing without the Lord. I don't know how people can make it out there sometimes. You want to know why the suicide rate is so high and why people get addicted to drugs and alcohol and try to find another ends meet to their problems? Because they have never experienced a true presence of God. I'm not calling you out, Wesley, whatsoever, but you bless me, bro. You bless me. Why? Because you have never, ever been to our church before. And you walk in and God wrecks your life. That might not mean much to a lot of people, but I bet it means a lot to him. And it means a lot to me. Brittany and her husband come into this place and get wrecked by the presence of the Lord. Drug dealers, drug addicts walk into this place and are changed because of the presence of the Lord. Because we have people in leadership who are hungry for God and who say, I don't know anything, Holy Spirit, but just to follow your voice. Are you willing? Are you willing to make a covenant today before God, before us who are witnesses, to pursue the presence of God? The presence of God will take you places that you have never been before. Will take you to experiences that you have never experienced before. But listen, just watch the news. Just watch the news. The devil is raging. The spirit of Antichrist is raging in the world today. And the only reason why it hasn't expanded the way that I believe the enemy wants it because of a praying church like us. People who are of the same mind and of the same accord, who are hungry. Yes. Who are hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. Who are willing to surrender our lives, surrender our agenda, surrender what we want for what God has for our area. Yes. When Jesus established the church, he was basically saying, look, I've done it all. I've defeated the adversary. All you have to do is just go out and claim my land. So basically, think about it this way. You're an enforcer for the kingdom of heaven. You go to the areas of darkness and you say, this don't belong to you, devil. This belongs to the kingdom of God. Get your hands off of Bell County. Get your hands off of Pineville. Get your hands off Kentucky. Get your hands off my nation. Because it belongs to Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm sending out a clarion call today. And I'm sounding the trumpet. It's time to stop playing. Make a choice. From the smallest kid to the oldest person in this room. Make a choice. Will you pursue God for all that he is? Or will you be complacent and conform to the culture? Some of you don't even know the plans that God has for your life, man. If you would have told me 7 years ago, Brandon, you'll be standing in a church in Pineville, Kentucky, in the middle of nowhere, I would have looked at him and be like, what are you smoking? What are you drinking? I'm the only Hispanic in this room. Amen. We're going to reach the Hispanics of Pineville. I believe that with all my heart. We're sowing seeds in the Mexican restaurant. I'm not just eating the food because it's good, but I'm sowing seeds of God's presence in the Mexican restaurant. And I need you all to be in prayer for what God's about to do in the Hispanic community in this area. But there are plans that God has for your life that you're not even aware of. I'm telling you, man. I wish I had like a camera that would have seen me from point A to where I'm at right now. And just to see the goodness of God and how he, and by his divine providence, walked me from step to step. Hey, listen, it's like I tell Katie all the time. I wake up every morning and I have never woken up with such a peace in my heart. Knowing that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Do I have my family? No. Is it a sacrifice? Yes, it is. But the presence of God is much greater than all of that. When I come into service here, or when I'm able to go and pray in their prayer closet, and instantly I feel the manifestation of God's presence. That is great. Because listen, this anointing that's here, it's not out there. I was telling Pastor this morning, I'm not talking about me, but I'm sharing my heart with you. I told Pastor this morning, you know what? I was glad to see my family in Texas when I went for December. But you know what? I was longing to be in this place. My physical body was in Texas, but my heart was in the front row. Why? Because I longed for the presence of God, the way it manifests itself in this place. The way it manifests itself, that sweet, sweet aroma of His presence that manifests Himself here. I don't know how people don't want that. So I make a call to you today. Show the Lord how much you're willing to be part of His remnant church. The ones that don't want to compromise that. The ones that won't conform to the culture. The ones that know what it takes to get a hold of God's presence. But brother, I'm not called to church position. I'm a coal miner. I work as a mechanic. I do other things. But yeah, you have an anointing to reach your generation. You don't need to be behind the pulpit or playing music or doing anything. You have to walk into the role that the Holy Spirit has called you to in this church. It's like a car. We're the gears. We're what drives it. But you're the gas. And without you, we ain't going to work. That's the way that it is. We need each and every one of you. Each and every one of you is significant to the work that God has called this church to do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in pastoral leadership. It's necessary. It's necessary. And listen, the Lord is saying it's time. It's time for you to get serious. I said that for weeks already. Get serious about the Lord. Pray, fast, seek His face. By doing that, you fan the flames of awakening that have begun in this place. Make a covenant today with the Lord that you will be part of that uncompromising church. God's going to use you. Some of you look at me like, yeah, right. No, God's going to use you. You will be an apologist for the true presence of the Lord. You will raise a defense for why you do what you do. You know what? That's fine that you do all that. But if you need a healing, get in God's presence. You will walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, and you will be a testimony of the reality of the presence of God. Let us not drop the ball, church. The Lord is soon to return. We still got a job to do. I don't know how you felt about this message, but you know what? God's speaking. God's speaking and saying, get it together. It's time. It's time. It's time for the church to awake. Come on, church, get up. Shake yourself off of slumber. Shake off the grave clothes. Put yourself on a garment of joy and a garment of praise. And begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you must do. It's necessary. Don't let anybody else say anything to you that you're not called. Or that you're not supposed to operate in ministry. Don't let nobody else's opinion, nobody else's criticizing, nobody else's critique change what God has planted in your heart to do. Because this is what's going to happen. When you get to heaven, that person that was criticizing you is not going to be next to you. And you're not going to be able to say, well, this person right here, Lord, is the one who changed my mind about doing what you call me to do. No, you're going to be accountable to yourself and before the Lord. What did you do with my son? If the worship team wants to get up here and do a song, I welcome you to the altar today. Just to tell the Lord, you know what, God? I hear you. Spirit of God, I hear what you're saying. And I choose to say yes to what you're trying to do in the church today. There's different pockets of fire that are happening around the nation. Some going noticed, some going unnoticed. But it's all by the Spirit of God who has started it. So I welcome you. Come to the altar if you desire. If you were felt that the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And just say, you know what, Lord, here I am. Here I am. That's all you have to do. That's how easy it is. Yes, Lord. Take me, Father. If nobody else wants to do it, I will do what you have called me. Come and pray.
For more information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.